Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're taking a look at college athletes profiting from their names, image, and likeness to begin the show today. And our guest, Tom O'Gwen, a professor of marketing and the Irwin Meyer Distinguished Chair in Business at the UW School of Business. Great to have Tom with us today. And as we talk with him, I hope you'll join in. You think it's a good idea for college athletes to make money off their likeness and, you know, endorsements and so forth? What questions do you have about the new rule? You can give us a call. The number's 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Or you could send us an email to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Tom O'Gwen, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Oh, it's good to be here.
So last July, the NCAA changed its rules to let athletes, college athletes, benefit from their name, image, and likeness. And this is a pretty big change. Maybe talk about the background. What prompted this whole thing?
Well, I think there was just a recognition that finally, that the people doing the labor were the athletes, and they were not compensated. They got an education most places. Wisconsin, I think, is number one rated at graduation completion for their student athletes, and we rank in the rankings as the number one school as far as not being dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's just a recognition that there's some sense of fairness. Now, I know the central administration has a different view than I do, and I really, frankly, don't care. And my view is I think they should be compensated. It is a complicated question, though, about how a university and how a student athlete should interact. So it would be naive to say there's not two sides to this question, but my personal view, my professional view, is that these student athletes are brands. I teach brand management, and I think it's everybody else's. Everything and everything is a brand, so why not?
So, and this was supposedly a temporary policy. I'm kind of laughing at this. There's no way they're going to take that away anymore.
No, that once you open that floodgate, they might as well have just said, we're going to pay you because that's the future. I mean, that's obvious.
Nick and Edgerton, what's on your mind?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for your time, gentlemen. Interesting topic you have here. Lifelong college football fan, born in South Bend, so I'm a big Fighting Irish fan, raised in the shadow of Camp Randall. I cannot stand name, image, and likeness. I love college football because the players are so dedicated. They play with heart. They are playing for something. You look at pros, and I feel they're kind of overpaid. About college, aren't they getting paid in the form of a scholarship? They're getting paid in the form of an education. They're getting paid to attend school. That's their job. At the end of the day, they are still student athletes. What word comes first? Student, not athlete. If we go college level, name, image, and likeness, where do we stop? High schoolers? How about the Mallards out there in Madison here? You know, where is it going to stop? Next thing you know, it's going to be high schoolers looking for money then too.
Yeah.
Well, I certainly understand that point of view, and I have some ambivalence about it. I share some of your concerns, but I think, you know, that train has left the station. I mean, I just don't think, no matter what you or I believe should be right, I think that the future is determined. I don't think all the complaining about it in the world is going to change a thing. And from my point of view, I'm a marketing professor. I'm a business guy and do consulting on the side, et cetera. And they are brands. And yes, they should be. They are students first. I have student athletes in my classes, and in private conversations, every one of them thinks they should be paid. I've never talked to a student athlete who doesn't think they shouldn't be paid. I went to the University of Texas for all 3 degrees. And I got to tell you, even as a TA there and working with faculty, it was dirty. We would get the athletic department of Texas would just say, I remember a player, Herky Walls, who was a wide receiver for the Longhorns, went on, I think he'd play pro New England a couple of years. And they just said, how's Herky doing? Herky has never been to class. He's making an F. I get a phone call from my professor saying that the provost called and said, perhaps you don't understand. Herky has to pass this class with a C at least. So guess what happened? He got a C. And he never came to class. And that's wrong. And that is not uncommon. Wisconsin's very squeaky clean, but if you listen to ESPN, I mean, I was listening to ESPN the other day. There's always a bag man. And this is ESPN Big Ten. Just talking about the Big Ten. There's always a bag man handing out money. And I'm sorry, you can't stop it. It's, like I said, that train has left the station.
Nick, thanks a lot for calling. I sat on the athletic board a long time, too, here at UW, and I think we are pretty squeaky clean, which actually hurts from time to time. You'll see a student that may be coming to Wisconsin and then suddenly isn't coming to Wisconsin, and there's some speculation of maybe the student wasn't quite good enough academically because we have very strict standards on that. But they wind up at some other Big Ten school.
Right. Wisconsin is, I think, the exception, not the rule. And Wisconsin, my student athletes are some of my best students.
Mine too.
They're to get into the University of Wisconsin. I couldn't get into the University of Wisconsin now. I couldn't get into the University of Texas now. It's gotten so competitive. But, my student athletes are really good, and that's despite the fact that they have to miss class. They have to study. They don't get time to study as much, and they still make good grades. So we are the model of how to do it, but I'm talking much beyond Wisconsin. Look at North Carolina. North Carolina basketball, and I love the Tar Heels. I taught at Duke 1 year, even though, and I had to pretend to like Duke, and go to a game at Cameron. But I got to tell you, they ran that program where for 4 years, students didn't, they had a separate set of joke classes and a fake degree, and that's UNC. That's not even Duke. And at Duke, being a private school, it was very clear that they were to get an A or a B, period.
Patrick in Milwaukee, it's your turn. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, I would just like to comment that, everybody is making gobs of money off of college sports. And the coaching staff, NCAA, all these people except for the students, like millions, the coaches are millions and millions. Isn't that kind of fundamentally unfair? Plus, I'd like to add, this is America. Aren't we entitled to the fruits of our own labor? Isn't that like a base part of our society? Thank you.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I agree with you completely. I mean, we're a capitalist society. We embrace capitalism. And I hate to interject this, but I will. there are a lot of black athletes in particular who feel particularly exploited. And I had, I won't use his name, but a starting running back in my class 2 years ago. Went to the NFL. I'm not going to say his name. But he told me over a beer that, you know, if it, you know, that he was from originally, well, I can't tell you that because you'd figure out who he is. But he said, you know, look, you know, it's just another form of slavery. It's just another, and it may be hyperbolic, but that's how he felt, that, that, you know, he says, you know, we get paid to play for mostly white people in Wisconsin, and it's not fair. And the white players I have say the same thing.
Talking today with Tom O'Gwynn, professor of marketing and the Irwin Meyer Distinguished Chair in Business at the UW School of Business. Great to have him with us as we talk about college athletes and paid endorsements. You can join in, too. Numbers 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, ideas@WPR.org, ideas@WPR.org. Jill Nadeau, our producer today, Trina LaSousa, our engineer. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Talking college athletes and paid endorsements with our guest today, Tom O'Gwynn from the UW School of Business. Great to have him with us, Larry Mueller here. Join in, 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@WPR.org. Let's try to remember about the endorsements themselves. There are some things they can't endorse.
Right. They can't do direct endorsements, although the rules are... kind of murky, I would say, but easy to get around, or somewhat easy to get around. But yeah, generally they can't. But it's kind of an artificial distinction, which you know makes my head spin at times trying to figure out exactly what the rule is. But yeah, technically, like they can't just go out and say, you know, I'm so and so for, you know, a big national product for Nike, or I don't believe. And but I think that day is right around the corner. I think that's going to happen in 2-3 years.
I wondered about, and I'm not sure. I wondered about alcohol, beer.
Right.
And that sort of thing. I don't imagine the NCAA would be happy about that.
But. No, you know, and I've done a lot of consulting. I've consulted for Anheuser-Busch, and I'm on the board of directors of Capital Brewery here in Middleton. And I know quite a bit about the beer industry and regulations. And no, they're, that's going to be... anything that's, quote, a sin product like tobacco, alcohol, anything like that, gambling, anything that's – they're going to draw a line on that. And, frankly, I think that's – certainly on gambling they should. And I think for a variety of reasons it's probably a good idea not to go – to alcohol, even though if you looked at it strictly from a marketing point of view, sports audiences skew very highly toward have a high concentration of alcohol users, and actually it's one of the best audiences for what's left of tobacco, although it's not on broadcast since 1970, on New Year's Day 1971 was the last day, you know, you could broadcast tobacco ads because they wanted to give them the extra day for sports. I mean, that's how close that relationship was. And but so it's a natural connection, and advertisers are going to try everything in their power to try to break that, but I don't think they will.
Let's go to Josh in Sparta. Josh, hi.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Good, appreciate the call.
So my son is playing football for UW-Eau Claire.
Okay.
And we have discussed this quite often, actually, at our home. And we don't really agree with it. It seems like payments, obviously, are just going to the few students that are at the big schools that generally, in our opinion, don't need it. They're the ones getting the scholarships. They're the ones that are, you know, most likely going to have a career in the pros. We've got, you know, thousands of students that don't get scholarships, that are, you know, doing everything they can to stay in school, get good grades, and are never going to benefit from this law at all.
Yeah. I agree with you completely. But it's like everything else in American society. It's stratified. You know, it's the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. I mean, it's it's the politics. And I have a lot of non-revenue or so-called non-revenue athletes in my classes, mostly women, volleyball, rowing, etc. And they feel it's unfair. They still support here at UW-Madison. They still support getting everybody else getting paid. They wish they could get paid, but they realize there's not much market. And again, it comes back to we're a capitalist society, and if you're a big money maker, you're going to get paid, and if you're not, you're not. And you know, that's just the way it is.
I just wanted to bring up one thing that UW Athletics plans to do is award athletes, and this is all sports, income and non, up to $25,000 as a graduation bonus. And that includes, you know, regardless of the scholarship level. It's because the NCAA allows $5,980 a year for athletes, individual athletes, I don't know, trophies or whatever they, you know, might spend it on, the athletic departments. But the UW would hold 5,000 of that back every year, and just give this, the student would be allowed $980 a year. But then, if they were 5-year people, they would get up to $25,000 for graduating.
Right. Yeah. Well, to me, that's just further evidence of the slippery slope of this. I mean, you know, if UW, which is the cleanest athletic program in the country, bar none, if they're starting to say, okay, we'll pay you $25,000, well, that just tells you, like I say, it's inevitable. It's just the way the world is going, and I just don't see. I just see that as further evidence that to compete, because you know, here an athlete making a decision, you know, money matters to all of us, and if you have a market value, which means you're probably at a Notre Dame or a Texas or a Wisconsin or something, you know, you have value, and why shouldn't you get the money?
Josh, thanks again. Appreciate it. Alan in River Falls, your turn. Thanks for calling.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. So I've worked in universities my whole career, and I'm a big believer in Division III philosophy. Maybe it's time we just get big-time multi-billion-dollar sports out of higher education. You know, it's not what higher education was designed for. It's not what it's supposed to be. But somehow we've moved this massive sort of mini professional sports world into our colleges and universities. And in my mind, it's sort of become a cancer on what universities are supposed to be about. Universities now are going through major reinventions anyway. Maybe along with this, we just move these Division I sports to minor league sports and maybe make them affiliate with a university. But being an integral part of a university in my mind, doesn't serve the students well, doesn't serve the athletes well, and certainly doesn't serve the educational needs of the states and the country. So,
yeah.
Well, I've been a professor I was at University of Illinois for 24 years, and I've taught at UCLA, Duke, and here. And so I've been most in the Big Ten, but ACC and what was the Pac-12. But I agree with you. I mean, it is not the idea of university. In fact, I hate the way universities are going. I mean, I'm on the faculty senate. I think the chancellor cringes every time I walk into the room because I believe that universities. I started being a professor in 1982. And, you know, you probably know these statistics, but a lot of people don't. In 1982, the University of Illinois got 48% of its its operating budget from the state of Illinois. They now get 7. And what are we down to? I don't know, maybe 9, 8, 10. I mean, so we're a state university sort of in name only. Donors have way too much power. We had a situation in the business school where we had a dean get fired after 2 weeks. 2 weeks, maybe a month. Largely because she wouldn't cave in to a donor. And donors have a lot of power. Faculty don't have any power compared to what they used to. And everything you say is right, and particularly in athletics, we don't have. I mean, there's faculty people on the athletic board, but it's donors that have the real power. And I love sports. I'm a sports junkie, but you know, you make a great point. It's gotten that universities are, to me, unrecognizable. So I agree with you.
Yeah, if you think about university, I mean, there are many universities that are known for their sports. I mean, that's true. Their...
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I've worked at, I mean, Texas, my God. I mean, you know... they don't kid around about facilities, and it's, you know, they're going to do what they want. UCLA is a little better, but they're the same. Duke, the one-and-done phenomenon at Duke under Krzyzewski, and the greatest moment in my life was watching Duke lose in Krzyzewski's final game. And I'm one of the great – when people say, who do you love in college basketball, I say, well, first Wisconsin, then whoever's playing Duke. And they're – you know, everywhere I've ever been, yeah, it's that way.
Let's go to Nancy in Grafton. Hi, Nancy.
Morning. I would just like to say I have a grandson that was one of the top schools in Milwaukee. Excellent swimmer. He had options to go on to college with scholarships, but he decided, nope, he's going to go, and he's going to be a construction worker, and he is going, and he's getting his training. And it takes kind of a lot of time, but it's a union construction worker, and he'll be earning doggone good money, have excellent benefits, and he'll have a real good retirement when he gets finished working.
Good for him. You know, I was a high school swimmer. I swam 1 year at the University of Texas and then decided – A, I wasn't good enough, and B, I couldn't swim and be a good student at the same time. And you're right. I mean, congratulations to you and your son.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. Thanks for calling. Let's go to Sue in Bailey's Harbor. Hi, Sue.
Hi, Larry. I wanted to agree with the previous caller, and I was just getting ready to try to figure out how to call and suggest that I would be much happier if the athletics could be totally, you know, the football and everything could be totally separated from the university, at least, you know, so that it was performing a fundraising function like it actually is doing, essentially, and not have it affecting the classes so much, you know what I mean? Rather supporting the classes, but not so dependent. So if you, say, paid the athletes, paid them a salary, and they could decide how to use that if they wanted to go to school or not during, you know, and maybe they want to defer their college until after they're through playing athletics, you know, just to kind of separate it somehow.
What a great idea. I mean, that is... That's really an inspired idea. I'd never thought of that.
It's when I'm thinking about the separation of the university and the athletics, in some ways, the athletic department is financed by what it makes, and it essentially, the money does not come out of, I don't think, state taxpayers, to at least here at Wisconsin, to run athletics. So they are kind of, they're separated in that fashion.
Yeah, they are in at Wisconsin. And a few other schools. And I mean, and technically they're supposed to be separated everywhere, but in reality they're not. Wisconsin runs a really clean program. But I kind of like the idea of saying, look, here's a salary. And let's face it, even if you go to the NFL, unless you're a superstar, you're going to have a two-year career, right?
Yeah, five is a long career.
A long career, and you're going to have injuries, and you're going to be damaged, and you're exposing yourself to CTE damage. Wait a couple of years, because your NFL career is probably going to be over within five, and then take the money, and if you want to buy an education, buy it. I mean, I think that's a just a phenomenally good idea.
How are the businesses using college athletes to market their brands? I can think of Braylon Allen. I know what he does. As you said earlier, they can't go right out and say, go and buy Iron Jock.
No, that's still a murky one. They allude to them. They can't really mention them, but they kind of hint at them a little bit. But I think, within a few years, I think that dam will be broken. You know, that's right now they don't, but I think they will. They can't wait until they can. Now, there are some student athletes that are poison. I mean, I know he plays for the Bucks, but I still think Grayson Allen is the dirtiest player in basketball since Bill Laimbeer, or in pro basketball since Bill Laimbeer, and from Duke, and who beat us, you know, unfairly. Anyway, so I don't know if he has much market potential, but they start kind of hinting at him as soon as the season's over. They start kind of pre-launching popular athletes as soon as the season's over, and kind of, you know, it's like driving on the highway and going 9 miles over, you might not get a ticket. You go 11 miles over, you might, you know. So that's kind of the deal.
What, Braylon Allen, we just mentioned him, he's with Iron Jock.
Yeah.
But he also has his own business.
Yeah.
Which, what's he doing? He's got Humble Hustle, I think it's called.
Right. But it's his own business, and that's different than having a Fortune 500 company, you know, a Nike or a Reebok. So he can start his own business and promote it, but he can't yet, you know, go to do just strict 30-second commercials or something for Nike.
Okay, so who are – so Braylon Allen is probably for UW is probably the quote-unquote premier name among those. Are there many – do you know of many athletes here? He's with, by the way, Lammy Sports?
I think so.
Management and his, I know Barry Alvarez is with them as well, and I think at least one other football player.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll admit, I don't know that. I could certainly find out this semester because I'll have undoubtedly three or four college athletes in my class, and I get close to my students. You know, I talk to them in office hours and occasionally with the ones that are over 21, go have a beer with them and stuff at the end of the semester. And I learn a lot. So if you were to talk to me this time in December, I might have more information for you.
Tim O'Brien, Tom O'Gwynn, our guest today.
It's Irish. What are you going to do?
Our guest today is we're talking with him about paying college athletes. Still time if you want to join in. The number is 800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. What do you think about sports marketing in general? I mean, you know, the thing about sports and why I think sports, for example, is so popular on television is because it's live.
Yeah. And you know, in marketing, and this is not rocket science, marketing is not rocket science. The technical side of it's very complicated, but the basics of marketing are pretty simple. Think about MJ. Think about Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan changed pro basketball enormously through his relationship with Nike. And he made far more money, you know, obviously, working on it from Nike than he ever made the Bulls paid him. And I think he probably changed it along with Nike and Phil Knight more than anybody. And I think it's totally appropriate in the pros. And Michael Jordan had a value. LeBron James has a value.
Tiger Woods
still has a value, although diminished, but Tiger's brand is not worth what it was. And there are actually companies, you know, that rate the brand value in dollar terms of every athlete. I can go online and find out exactly how much Tiger is worth per hour, per minute. I can find out how much anything. They are, in a way, commodities, and like they're traded on the stock exchange. And you look at the list, and they have what they call Q scores, which are how popular they are, et cetera. And the person with the highest Q score gets the big money.
Who's got the highest Q score?
Among athletes right now, it's probably LeBron.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Still, and he's been there a long, long time.
Steph Curry's got a huge one. Brady's might be still number one, but when you retire, then unretire and retire and unretire, and you're playing, you know, you're not New England anymore. It's kind of different. I grew up in Dallas, near Dallas, but I when they fired Tom Landry in 1989, I for a long time people would say, "Who's your team?" And I'd say anybody who's playing the Cowboys. But the Cowboys they haven't won a Super Bowl in a lot of my students' lifetime, but yet they're worth $8 to $10 billion.
It's an amazing, amazing.
And I can't stand Jerry Jones. I think Jerry Jones is the worst thing that ever happened to pro football. But, you know.
There he is, worth all that money.
Well, they're a marketing machine. They always were. But under Jerry and his son now running it, sort of running it. Of course, Jerry wants to be a coach. So, and he's not even a Texan, for God's sake. And it's just horrible. But yeah, it's all appropriate for them. I mean, they're great marketers, even though they're a questionable football team.
On that happy note, Tom, I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. It was a lot of fun, and it's going to be interesting to see down the road. Even a year from now, things are going to be changed. More wide open, I would guess.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's going to become the wild, wild west out there. And get ready. Buckle your seats.
Tom O'Gwen, professor of marketing and the Irwin Meyer Distinguished Chair in Business at the UW School of Business. Great to have him with us today to talk about money in sports and college sports. Well, summer camps are very popular with high school and club athletes. And coming up next, our most successful summer camp program at UW-Madison is the volleyball camp. We're going to talk about that next. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We'll be right back.